Hello there. Oh, I've got lots of letters for Santa today. And every year, they're the same. Some ask for toys, but a lot ask questions.
A yo-yo?
If you wish to give me a present?
I'd like to be a dentist.
And toys hate me. Either they are going or I am going. And I am certainly not going, Clensley. I have a job for you to do. Now take this down.
It's a difficult responsibility that you accept from the number one lawmaker, me. Have it known throughout the land from sea to sea. There'll be no more toy makers to the king.
You know, you hear that
soldiers melt them down,
amazing
wash the face of every clown, each
part of the Santa Claus Come to Town soundtrack. And yes, this is the Christmas Specials We Love podcast, sung by the great Paul Frees.
They bring me only woes.
Hey, everyone. As I said, part two of our Santa Claus is Coming to Town edition of Christmas Specials We Love. Ann Sleeman and Ann and I from the Lost Generation, welcome. Evan from Gen Y, Christian from Gen X. And let's bring that down and let the kids have their say. Now, Evan, before we get into what offended you on this, Christian, you actually said Christian's the cynic of the group. You know, he's our comedy writer. But you did actually like this one, Christian.
Well, slight caveat to that. I was confusing it with The Year Without a Santa Claus. However, I really like that one. This one I do like, but I forgot that the reminder of the marginal talents of Mickey Rooney at any stage in his career. And I just can't.
It's going to be fine.
I just think of him as the old man on the couch talking about how he had been the biggest star in the world and how bitter he got. So, but I think that the story is very sweet. And as I was watching it, I'm like, yes, this is a much better story than I had in my head. It's a much darker story. And I'm definitely not showing it to my kids. It's like horrifying. Like, we're going to burn all the toys. You know, this is 1970. So the Weimar Republic overtones are not lost on any of us. At least they shouldn't be.
I didn't think Weimar Republic. I was thinking more West Germany, East Germany.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I was trying to not use the N word. You know the one I mean, though. I was trying to not say that.
Several N words.
Yeah. The German word was what I was trying to avoid. But yeah, exactly. So I forgot how dark it was, you know, because I saw it a few years ago. And then I'm just like, I wasn't thinking about showing it to my kids, but then I had it in mind this year. And I was like, God, this is too much of a bummer. My daughter will cry if she sees it. My son would probably shrug it off. But, you know, just the idea that they're literally burning toys at one point, aren't they?
Well, because they're improper, illogical, immoral. You've heard the list of things. All right.
Yeah. But Paul Frees, let me just a quick follow-up. No, Paul Frees, amazing as Burgermeister. Fred Astaire, it's almost a crime that it's only his voice able to be in this, though, because to me, that's a performer that we should be able to see and watch him move, although maybe by 1970, maybe not, you know.
Well, no, he could actually. We talked about that. There's an amazing video we talked about in part one. He's in his 70s. And he does a performance. I think it's at one of the Oscars. And it's like, oh, let's let the old guy perform for nostalgia reasons. And he does this really nice dance. And then it's building and it's building. And then he just goes off.
Nice.
Amazing.
And you see his moves. They hold up to any dancer today in his 70s. Incredible. And we learned through our research, also learned skateboarding in his 70s, was elected to the Skateboard Hall of Fame. And then in his 80s, married a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model.
Yeah.
45 years his junior.
So what you're saying is he's a real American hero.
Yes, I'd like, maybe. Maybe. Okay. At some point, we have to go to Evan, but I do want to explore the Mickey Rooney a little bit more. I didn't know about that side of him. You know, I mean, I know about that. He became bitter because I knew him a little bit at the end, and he was in the happy phase. Well, he just really needed money. And I remember he would always say to my wife, Maria, I hear we can make a lot of money together. You know, that's been his big thing. And he liked football. He loved his football.
Well, but does that account for the fact that he needed more money at the end of his career if he liked football
much? It was his wife. And, you know, a lot of times, and no one, civilians don't understand this, but people outlive their money. Have you ever heard that term?
Sure.
You know, you live too long. So you're fine to 75, let's say. But when you start going into your 80s and early 90s, all the time, I get a little bit of how someone like that feels, because when you think of how huge they were, if you know Hollywood history, how ginormous they were, and then the fact that they just get forgotten, not by people, but by our business, it just doesn't really make sense. Well, and so I get where that's a blind screw on somebody.
Right. And so many of them barely get paid in the first place, whether they just sign a bad deal, they, you know, partner up with the wrong people. You know, I mean, however it shakes out, the money is definitely gone later in life, you know? I think you're right about that.
And then the worst thing is, and I remember feeling this badly about Gary Coleman, was that when you have this fame and you don't have the money, so now you're so famous, you can't hide. I mean, Gary Coleman, I remember being on a shoot, and there was a diminutive man in a security guard outfit and a placard that said Wayne on his shirt. And it was Gary Coleman.
No.
Yeah. And I remember him bringing change back to everybody when it was like, go get everyone coffees. And he kept the change. And they were like, it was like a PA who gave the money. So it was who needed the money back because of, you know, whatever, when they do their accounting. I just remember I didn't have enough confidence or power at that point in my life to do anything about it. But it's just, you know, and again, maybe other people wouldn't empathize with that, but it's really hard. And that's why the celebrities I've worked with, I'm always working hard to think of, hey, if we can't preserve the relevance and fame, let's at least make sure you have your money. So then you can, you know, you don't have to be in public and be scared. And then I remember hearing stories about kids at a bus stop being so excited to go to the mall that Gary was the security guard at, just so they could mock him. I mean, just,
oh no.
Yeah. Terrible. I mean, just awful. It's so,
I mean, look, there's an age in my life where I would admit that I definitely would have done that. You know, I think by the time I was in my 20s, I wouldn't have. But if I had heard, you know, Arnold Drummond is a security guard at the mall, I'd be like, I wouldn't believe it. And I would want to go see. I don't think I would actually say anything to him. I would definitely want to stare, though.
You know? Yeah, I'd want to see, of course.
True confessions, Christian. So I like it.
So Evan from Gen Y is probably completely lost at this point. But Evan, your thoughts on Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Yeah, so I'm a little surprised that I hadn't seen this, because I know we owned this. My family owned this on VHS the entire time I was a kid, and somehow I just never watched this.
Indoctrinated.
I guess, but I saw The Year Without a Santa Claus a lot, so it's not like we didn't watch these. This one just, I don't know, we never did. Watching it now, this is not necessarily a dig against it, because I enjoyed this just fine. But
these two are amazing, Anne.
I hope people from both fandoms are not offended by my comparison here, but this feels like the Solo of Santa Claus, as in Solo, a Star Wars
Solo story. The Star Wars story.
Yeah, like it felt like going, like I got the same sense as I did watching that movie, where I'm like, they're going through and just like getting all of his accessories like it's a video game. Like they're going through the song and he's gaining these achievements one by one. Like,
I'm in shock over here.
it's not bad. Like, I've seen other Santa origin stories, whether it's talking about like Saint Nicholas as a historical figure or just like other stories that explain
Silent Night, Deadly Night has a much more tangible origin story. Sure. I know what you're saying, Evan.
Well, I know that like Violent Night and Fat Man and those other things. I mean, you know, are adult, but even in children's specials, you've seen better.
Well, not necessarily better, just like it makes a little more sense. Like, this is the first time I've ever seen elves with beards, like in either sense of the word elf, like either Lord of the Rings or Santa's elf. Like, that was like probably the most surprising thing, was like, that's the origin of his beard. Because I've always thought of elves as like unbearded creatures.
These are hipster elves that would go on to form Mumford and Sons. So that's actually, yeah, they're from that group of elves.
So
yeah.
Did you lose it at the beard? Is that
like, well, is that it's not
the
that
demise
I lost
of the
it.
Whole show is the beard?
No, it's not that I lost it there. It's just I was like surprised, because I've seen explanations for like all of Santa's, you know, accessories, items, like ticks, his suit, ever, like from other stories, not all of them necessarily well known, but this just felt like, okay, that just doesn't seem to track with the rest of his like everything, like his presence in pop culture as much as those other ones did. Not really a problem, just like that seemed to be what this was all based on. And it felt like it was kind of bending over backwards to get in like references and lines from the song, which I guess was the point. It's not really a problem. That was just kind of the overall sense I had watching it.
There's a few of those moments where it's like the Family Guy, where it's like, hey, he said the name of the movie, you know?
Exactly.
And there's like five of those. But as a kid, I can see like, oh, that's where that comes from. But Evan, my question to you is it just because they present a younger Santa as a ginger and you're like, no, hashtag not my Santa? Is that really, is it your anti
ginger? No, that's not a problem at all.
No, there wouldn't be, no, that generation wouldn't be anti ginger, I don't think.
You know what,
no,
you're right.
All inclusive, right, Evan?
Yeah. I don't,
yeah, no, they wouldn't be. Okay.
Anyone who has an issue like that
right.
with gingers. No, that's not the issue. It's just like, it felt like it was like, hey, look, reference, guys. Here, look, see, he just earned his red suit trophy. Like, he's a video
okay,
game character.
Right. So, Evan and Christian, do we understand, first of all, this is made in 1970, but second of all, this is, well, okay, Christian has a counter for this point, that it was made for children to explain all of those things, but then Christian's counter is that the book burning, or the toy burning
horrifying.
Is too dark. I mean, listen, I guess maybe that's why Ann and I, maybe I'll speak for myself why I'm so screwed up, but I saw it when I was 3 or 4. I was fine. I turned out great.
Well, I was curious watching this because, like, and granted, this is a more secular thing, but one of the, like, origin stories I was taught for Santa growing up was, like, the historically, or I was told it was historically based origin for St. Nicholas from, like, 300 AD or whatever, where he puts the toys. I think there is like a, that's maybe where the stocking thing comes from. I'm not sure, but he like gives three daughters of the same guy, like their dowries because they can't afford them. So I was wondering like that must've been, I mean, it's a much older story. So I feel like that must've been somewhere in the zeitgeist in the 70s. And this is not trying to refer to that at all.
I don't think that was in the zeitgeist at all in the 70s. In fact, okay. I've never heard that before, ever.
I was curious, like, again, I don't have a problem that this doesn't do that, but I was wondering if, like, other people at the time maybe did.
No, because I don't even think people now have explored that. I think that's, you might be onto something for a different kind of movie.
I've heard that many times. Like, I don't know. I've
never heard that, but again, your generation with the like more access to information and free time, maybe, but I've never, Christian, have you heard that? Anne, have you heard that?
No, I find it fascinating as a concept.
Hey, I do too. I think you need to, yeah, I think we need a new special, Evan. Let's go.
No, I heard that in church growing up, like, because St. Nicholas is somebody that is talked about. I think we have St. Nicholas feast day in 2 days from now. You leave your shoes out because, like, he put
the gifts
in the shoes.
Yes. I think we went over that, didn't we, Ian? No.
No.
You didn't. I'm confusing my, yeah, I'm doing another show, a trivia show where that came up. It's funny. Oh. This is the universe. Well, I am now defeated, broken, and depressed. Really don't want to go on and do the rest of this.
I'm 3 inches shorter.
Okay. Mickey Rooney, and if you loved Year Without a Santa Claus, he's Santa in that too, yeah, Christian.
I don't know what it is. Something about this one. I was like, it's something about him in this one. I can't put my finger on it. I think that maybe because I think that's where the mix up came from, because Year Without a Santa Claus, I like much more than this. But I'm also wondering, Evan, you said you had the VHS, but you never watched it. I wonder if your parents had the thought that I did, was like, we can't show this to kids, you know, because it's just,
and you can speak to that, you know, his mom.
Yeah. I was thinking that, and Ev, as a little kid, you might've been like, what is it rated for violence? Cause you were kind of obsessed with that when you were, you know,
I was
less than 10.
I truly don't remember there being,
so because of the burning, you might've actually opted out back in the day.
I, speaking for myself, I don't think personally I would have, I might have had that question, but like I truly think it just kind of never happened. Like, we watched Year Without a Santa Claus, I think, only because my parents dressed up as Heat Miser and Snow Miser one year.
Oh my God.
Like, that's how I saw that. And then there just, I guess there was just no reason, we never wanted to. It looked too old, it looked boring to me and my siblings, probably based on the cover. Or whatever. I don't think we were like barred from watching it. It just
no. And at that happened. Point, your mom couldn't even sit down, so it might
that
be
too.
She couldn't even have lasted through the whole show, so she wouldn't have watched it with you.
Yeah.
Okay then. Well,
I can't think of any other reason.
Yeah, I think it just didn't happen somehow.
No, you know, it's funny because, you know, Rick Beach, who's a friend of mine and does some of these with us, he'd said his children, who are, I think, just entering college, finishing high school, and he just said they just didn't take to any of these.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. You know, we had our theories. We were throwing around, Ann and I. Yeah. You know, I think it's a little too much Christmas and a little too many birthdays and a little too many toys and a little too many for any of this to be as special as it was to us. Plus, it's also less TV. You know, we had three channels.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so, and you didn't have this on DVD or VHS. It was the one night a year it would play. That was it. If you were lucky enough to not be punished that day.
Absolutely.
Don't fall asleep. Like, you know, some of these, you'd Wizard of Oz. I kept missing the end of Wizard of Oz every year. I'd fall asleep. I think, no, this is the year I'm not gonna. And that was life back then, Ev, for us.
Well, it's such a bummer because she ends up in Kansas. So, you know, I think it's better to just stay in Oz in your mind as a kid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, once the flying monkeys came, I was scared, and then I think I got scared to sleep and I fell asleep after the flying monkeys.
That's when I fell asleep, though, was right before the flying monkeys.
Oh, I made it through the flying monkeys, and then right after that I was out. So interesting.
Well, a little Christmas special.
Same stamina.
Second name drop is I got to watch that with Jerry Marin, who at one point was one of the last surviving members of the Lollipop Guild. He's one of the three that presents the Lollipop. Mm-hmm. Wonderful man, great actor. Had done
love that scene.
He worked forever, and it was just it was amazing just to sit and watch it with him. And again, I didn't ask enough questions. I look back now, and like my head was just so up my butt as just probably a fanboy or just excited to see the movie. I don't know. I should have asked him way more questions about what it was like. But it was fun to watch it with him and his wife in a big giant theater in Glendale. Anyway, okay, so that wraps the Christmas Specials We Love podcast. This episode,
I like the character of Jessica. You know, I think she's an important part of the story.
I think there's going to be from now on a Lost Gen edition and the multi generational edition of this podcast.
Kev, your crystal brain was spot on with this one. Seriously, such a different.
I said, this is my Dianetics. Please, why is it? I don't want it ruined. Please, why does it have to be soiled? And the thing is, both of you guys are super intelligent, and I'm super impressionable and not as intelligent. So any of the points you make are going to like stick to me and just completely dismantle, you know, this is my religion. I've lived my whole life by this episode. You don't understand everything to getting married out in nature, the animals, no church ever looking nicer. All the messages just
one
gone
step in front of the other. Kev,
all of it. Yeah.
All right, Kev, when you digress into that dark spot of the Evan and Christian place, you just hit me up because we'll reminisce about how much we love this one.
I have no notes about the music, you know. I think that the songs, I think, are great.
The meaning, you could look in the mirror and you could change your look in whatever reflection you see. You can. There's a choice you have. And by the way, how many people, we're only learning this now on a very serious note with meditation, Joe Dispenza, everything that's coming out now is about the science of words. Bruce Lee says it's called spelling because words are spells. Jim Quick is one, number one brain expert in the world. He's always saying how words are hypnosis, but everyone now is saying how important it is to how you can change parts of yourself simply by looking in the mirror and making a choice. There's that one video that's flying around right now about brushing your teeth in the mirror with your left hand and repeating, I love you. That will do X, Y, and Z scientifically to improve your life.
Wow.
And it's in this thing in 1970. But again, as I say, when you are as indulged and life is as decadent, perhaps, and rather than change your reflection, it's better just rather than change my reflection, Christian, isn't it not easier to go look at other people's reflections and smash those mirrors or be a victim?
Well, yeah, but I mean, I also brush my teeth.
That's cool too.
I also brush my teeth with my right hand and talk about how everyone hates me and including myself. So, you know, it just brings you to a very specific place. And it's, you know, look, I mean, I think this is just another example. It's like when we talked about the Alf Christmas special, it's like we watched completely different shows, you know, because it's because I saw that when I was a kid, you saw this when you were a kid, and then bringing a completely different perspective to it now, seeing it for the first time. And this isn't the first time I've seen it, but it's the first time I've seen it in a while. You know, this is like Evan was saying, this is definitely not one we saw as a kid. I don't even know how often it was on, you know, on CBS or whatever. It might have been on cable at this point. We definitely had, eventually we had like a DVD set with a bunch of specials, but this was paired up with, I think, Little Drummer Boy. So, you know, it was like Rudolph, Frosty, and then if you have time for the other stuff, you know, I mean, that was one and two. And it was probably watching Rudolph and Frosty multiple times, you know, during a Christmas season.
Right, because you could.
Yeah, right. We always could. Not really Frosty Returns, but, you know, the original Frosty, sure.
And as I said, once again, that concludes this episode. Oh, dear. Goodness gracious. And can you lift my spirits with some text? I know we had
I was just going to make that suggestion, actually. Because
we had some Apple Podcast reviews that came in last week, and we were comparing it to the South Park episode that where they cover yelping. Do you remember that one, Christian or Evan?
I do. Yeah.
Where it's all about conclusion is that, you know, people go so far yelping is so they can feel important.
Yes.
So, and I had my wife watch it with me, and just her face, just like you, the jaw was open with when the patrons would come in and say, I'm a star Yelp reviewer.
So funny.
And every waiter or cook would go in the kitchen and literally start, I won't say it on this show, desecrating the food in unimaginable ways.
Life lesson, be kind to the servers.
Okay, so do we at least have some positive texts?
I have, again, another crazy busy week with texts, and I have some great fun ones I wanted to share. And the first one is from Sean in Indianapolis, and Sean and I have been texting back and forth quite a bit. And Kev, just so you know, he is practicing. He's a Midwesterner. He's practicing to say talk shotly like us, which I think is great. But I wanted to share his latest text. Listening to the Year Without a Santa Claus episode, and Christian just absolutely nailed it regarding hesitation to watch with younger kids due to, quote unquote, planting the seed of doubt. As a Gen Xer, as much as I loved this particular special and have incredibly fond memories of it and all the others, I was always uncomfortable with this aspect as a young parent. Great observation that I strongly share with Christian. Much thanks. Talk shortly, Sean in Indianapolis.
Sean in Indianapolis, of course, the smartest of everyone who enjoys the Christmas Specials We Love podcast. Thank you, Sean.
He might just be.
I wonder what he thinks about what I said this week.
Right? I know. He'll have to hit me up. from 412 area code. I love the CSWL podcast. Would you consider reviewing Christmas albums? We had Bing Crosby, A Very Snoopy Christmas, Alvin and the Chipmunks, and Dean Martin. Bringing out those records from storage and playing them on the record player marked a special time in our family Christmas.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, we were talking last week. We didn't know the Partridge Family had a Christmas album. And yeah, wow. So, and I'd like to even get into obscure ones because yeah. There's so many.
I agree, that's Kev.
That's a good one.
And I want to share one more, Kev, if I may. Okay. From 502 area code, which is Indiana. Just finished listening to the new episode today. Please, Kevin, don't ever give up this podcast.
No.
I am a Gen X kid, and here in the Midwest, there are a ton of Gen X kids who are obsessed with all things Christmas, especially Rankin Bass. Merry Christmas and all the best.
Wow. I feel like I got the telegram in It's a Wonderful Life.
Right?
Right.
When that came in, I couldn't wait to share that with you.
Yeah, because I was
you must have just forgotten to read the ee-haw at the end of it.
Merry Christmas. Yeah, I forget it was Sam Wainwright, yes, who left that. But yeah, that's really nice. Well, because we were saying in the last episode, we worked so hard to garner all this research, to try to preserve these classics, extend the spirit of the holiday. And there are many podcasts just turn the mic on, they talk, and that's great. But we really work hard at it. And so to get to hear, your mic was a little low and it just
talking through a potato.
I'm going to try to pump myself back up for this. And please help me with these two as we navigate these scenes.
Going to have to.
Well, it opens with Fred Astaire, S.D. Kluger, the mailman. And all the letters are coming in from Santa. And I thought it was a very cute and clever way, Evan, to get us into this special. And he's going to answer all the questions for everybody. Sure enough, it begins with an orphan, a little orphan baby, that is presented to the Burgermeister from his assistant Grimsley. By the way, I think Grimsley could have been swayed either way.
100% agree, Kev.
Right?
Yep. I think if Jessica had shown up in there, he would have been swayed to the to
well,
the
because light. He brought the baby. There was a moment where, do you notice where the Burgermeister said, get rid of that baby or send it to the orphanage? That's the proper place for foundlings. You know, he wasn't any more extreme than that, but he did say, what's its name?
Yeah.
Which was kind of interesting. I wonder if that was just a moment of there was a human in there.
Yeah, I had the exact same feel, Kev. I was like, oh, he has briefly. A slight, brief moment of humanity right there when because he was like, outrageous. What's its name?
Right.
And you're like, ooh, he cares just enough to ask.
To ask, right? And then we see that moment later with the yo-yo, which we'll get to. But Grimsley goes to take him. And even this is where I see that Grimsley is redeemable as well, because when he tries to take the baby to the orphanage on the little sleigh, and the wind, which I'd like to think is magic wind, sweeps the sleigh up and the rope breaks. Baby Claus, Baby Claus. He seems concerned. Agreed. You know, and definitely, I know Chris, you're not concerned enough to go into the woods and face the Winter Warlock to save him.
No, and I also think that he asked the baby's name because he is German, and there's a short list. If it had been one of those names, maybe he would have sent it somewhere else. But let's not brush over the fact that they talk about going to the orphanage asylum.
Yeah, by the way. I was wondering which one of you
not use that terminology, kind of sugarcoats the horror of the story for children. For children, you know, I'm fine because that's what orphanages probably were like, especially in this era. But
proper place for foundlings.
Yeah,
and but didn't he? If I remember,
by the way,
my memory serves me. Wasn't it take the baggage to the orphanage asylum?
Yes,
the baggage.
Yes, right. Yes. Okay, Evan, you can. Evan's just like. Old people keep talking. He's laughing. Okay. So we're found by the animals, of course, of the great allies. And they hide him from the Winter Warlock, deliver him to the Kringles. And all the little Kringles, of course, are enamored. Our baby is the best baby of them all. And I say it to my daughter now all the time. She doesn't know what I'm saying to her, of course, but. And we meet Tante Kringle, and then he goes on his journey. And not only is he going to learn how to make toys, but I think it's really cool that the animals teach him all their little tricks of survival. And of course, I know, Evan, that is annoys you that this is how he can jump up on chimneys and things like that. But I don't know. I kind of liked it.
I don't have a problem with that being the origin. I just didn't think we'd need an explanation in the first place.
Well, I like seeing it.
I don't hate this special. Like, it's it just confused me a little bit in its premise. I don't want to take this away from you.
Confused? I don't know what confused you. I'm confused that you're confused over this basic special. I'd rather you just say I like or don't like, but okay, I get it. Cool. And by the way, look, Christian's right with you. So this is, we're 50-50 on this one, people.
I'm divided.
Right. Cannot cover Christmas specials. So the adult Chris decides to go to Sombertown, and this is where he gets his red suit. And it's funny. She sings her, I think she sings her song.
Yep.
Right? They used to be great toy makers to the
first
king.
Toy maker to the king.
And he's like, when I get older, I'll bring them. Oh, that will be the day. Then she goes into her song. Now, of course, he gets his red suit. He makes his way through the forest, and this is where he meets Topper. I was always confused why at that moment he named him Topper. We had heard there was a controversy right through world's leading Rankin Bass expert Rick Goldschmidt claiming that, or at least dealing with the claim that for a period of time he was called
Waddles. Yep.
And we don't know where that great controversy came from, Christian. So I know, you know, you're probably going to go deep into conspiracy theories over that.
I want to know why, you know, did the American Association of Waddlers, you know, rise up and said, no, we don't want to be characterized in this way. By the way, Evan's comparison of this to Solo, A Star Wars Story, it's like meeting Topper is definitely, you know, Han Solo in prison and meets Chewbacca for the first time. So you made me realize, I didn't think this when I watched it, but Topper is definitely Santa's Chewbacca, you know?
With Solo.
They even have the moment of giving him, like, the origin of his name. Like, you do have that parallel.
That's
like
true.
They have to be like earn their final. Yeah.
See, I never saw Solo, so I can't speak to this. I just thought Solo was just not a good movie. I didn't know it was because they explained things too much.
No, you really want to keep the lid on Pandora's box by talking about Star Wars. It is not the worst Star Wars movie in the last decade.
It's like that approach to an origin story. Yeah. I think it's a little bit unique in that sense, which is why I mentioned Solo specifically.
Yeah. Got it.
In comparison to this.
Well, this is where we're warned by the Winter Warlock, played by the great Keenan Wynn. Go back or you are doomed. And I thought, this is Christian, this is where I thought your children wouldn't want to see this, because he has this really evil, angry face. And
he comes back around, the Winter Warlock. But
he does.
There's this moment, and my daughter would probably run out of the room.
How old is she?
She's just turned 6.
I don't know. I have a little more faith in her. Okay. Maybe at 7, watches in the screening room with Uncle Kevin.
All right.
And Auntie Maria. Make some
part
popcorn.
Part of the fun of it was being scared. By the Warlock.
Thank you, Anne.
You know what
Anne,
I mean?
Like, say something. Help
the
me here.
The evil characters in these specials was part of the fun and the allure and the like this guy, the Bumble in Rudolph. They were so scary when you were a little kid. So you might like snug under the whoopee a little bit tighter, but you were tough and you fought through, and then you saw their redemption. So it was magic. You had to stick through it.
And the cool thing about Rankin Bass is, other than a few of their antagonists, most of them get redeemed. And even Burgermeister just fades away. It's not like he gets some giant evil comeuppance. So I just thought that's why I think this is just so well done. And I feel like I'm really oversimplifying, but in life, if we dealt with our oppressors the way this main character did, which is to continue to do better in his life, be more generous, the more he gets tormented, the kinder he gets, the more, same with Rudolph. And the fact that in time, evil is overcome that way. We could have canceled Burgermeister. That's another way. We could have went on Twitter and canceled him. We could have found some stuff out about his past, right? That would have worked too. But that's a different, well, just yeah, a different.
There was a podcast that Burgermeister did in 1642 where Burgermeister had some very unpopular opinions. It was very easy to find, actually. I pulled clips from it. Maybe we'll play it in a bonus episode. And I'm sorry I spoke over you, Evan.
No, go ahead, I mean, Evan, it, like, this just seems like if this is the thing to cancel him over, like, this is the stuff in his past that, like, burns toys. We like when he's, that's what gets brought up,
right? So we cancel him on burning the toys.
Yeah,
good. All right, nice. So anyway, I digress. I shall get him. No more being the nice guy. This is his last statement. And by the way, that was a big thing in the 70s. No more, you know, no more Mr. Nice Guy. You know, that was always a,
it was even a song, right?
Yes.
Alice Cooper has a song from 1973. Yeah.
There we Thank go. You. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Now, the inciting incident, I would like to think, could the inciting incident could be thought of as the little tiny sleigh, the Kringle baby going to the Kringles, bud, or it could be this, where Burgermeister comes out of the city hall and trips down the stairs and breaks his funny bone, and then Grimsley shows him, like, Grimsley's a little troublemaker too. That's what I'm saying. Grimsley's so impressionable. He's the classic civilian. He'll go anyway. You could easily get him to fall in line the other way. I know it.
He's all about the likes, Kev.
Yeah, he's all about the likes. And so it was this toy that caused it. This is where he goes into a song, which we heard at the beginning. I hate toys and they hate me. And by the way, I knew someone growing up that had this very sentiment.
Your mother?
Yeah, my mom was, yeah, she probably did hate. Well, maybe somewhat of a dislike for toys. No, my mom was down with the toys. She thought toys were fun. No, it was someone else I knew that we used to nickname, call him the Burgermeister, because, nice. Yeah.
I wonder what they're doing now.
Yeah, you don't want to know. It's a difficult responsibility. He goes into his song. Grimsley sings along with him. And by the way, Paul Frees also playing Grimsley. So you just talk about, like, talent, you know. So amazing. It's really great when you get an artist like that that could do two different voices that don't sound anything alike. I mean, that's, to me, incredible. Today, a lot of the voiceover artists, I can hear their voice behind it. And not that they don't do an outstanding job with whatever character they're creating, but a lot of them, you know, to do something, a 180, and then to play against each other,
right,
in the scenes. And then not only that, you know, sing the song. I know they record separately, but still, it's very super impressive to me. This is where the edict comes out. Toys declared illegal. There'll be no more toy makers to the king. And now all the toys are collected from the kids, which is probably the beginning of, yeah, Christian, that would probably horrify. Yeah, right. Seeing the toys taken away.
Which, by the way, I mean, my kids have so many toys. I'm all in favor of, you know, I don't want to take away their new toys, but I'd be okay to burn their old toys that are just sitting in the garage that they don't even know are there.
And I hear with the kids, you can't even throw them away because they remember, they know, right? Yeah. Don't they? What are you doing? No, they want to keep.
Yeah. And if you do it without their knowing, within a few months, they'll be the, hey, can I go out to the garage and get this? And then you have to be like, maybe later, yeah. And you just hope they forget.
I have to teach you about the guy or the lady or the kid. I learned this in construction when I, you know, and in the carny business. Like, maybe an inspector, a food inspector, would come up to the cotton candy stand. Where's your fire extinguisher? Where's your permits? Where? And just my bosses would be like, oh, the kid. Oh, this new kid, the kid came in, he was supposed to hang him up, he didn't. Next thing you know, they're all talking about how kids suck and it's impossible. Yeah, I got one of my own. Okay.
Yeah. Or, yeah, the owner's nephew, I have to keep, I can't fire him.
The kid, you know? It's, yeah, the kid. Yeah. Or it's the, what are you doing with your stand here? You know, you're not supposed to be here. Like, this is, you're blocking a handicap. The guy said,
the guy.
Yeah, it was like the guy came over. He said, you have to be here or you're... And so my wife hates it, but I'm always blaming the guy or the kid. Like, wait, what are you doing? Yeah, what are you doing? Well, the guy said, well, yeah, but the lady told me.
the proverbial guy.
I took my nieces to a game at Fenway Park opening day. I take them every year. And the first year they went with me. we all went to the bathrooms, and I went with my, I just had a drink with me, an alcoholic beverage. And when they came out, it was gone. I said, oh, can we hit the bar on the way back? Because of course I had consumed it.
Right.
Like, wait, where's your, I'm like, oh, the guy that what? I said, the guy said I can't be drinking here. So he took my drink and dumped it. Like, oh, okay. And then the second time, the third time, they're like, I don't think there's a guy, uncle. I'm like, no, this. But then they're like, I like it. Can we use that? I'm like, absolutely.
There's eight guys strategically positioned throughout Fenway Park only to steal your drink.
Always blame the guy, the lady, or the kid.
I love it. I love the guy.
That should be a t-shirt. So
when you have to take away the presents, the guy came by. We said that your mom and I were arguing, but apparently some code. I don't know. Please, let's not even get into it. It's not even worth it.
Some code.
Well, I have a baby now, Christian, so I'm telling you, this is all going to have to be put into effect because I don't have enough room here. So Chris comes to town, and those outlandish clothes, your classic civilians are just hating on Chris. By the way, production design to me is outstanding because he's in the bright red outfit, but then everyone are in the drab clothes. Evan, I thought you would take this as an anti-communism message. Because they were making it look like this.
I think I did clock something when they were like the red, like we don't like the red. I was like, oh yeah, that does sound like something.
Well, I think that because back then that wasn't a thing, so I think that's just random. It's just the color, the bright color. You know, it wasn't today. I know everything's red and blue. Is that what you're getting at? That wasn't as big a deal back then. You could actually like the coexist red
scare for communism.
Got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, there you go. Maybe. Yeah. Could have been. Very astute, Evan. What's it like?
That's what it sounded like to me.
So. Burgermeister definitely had a list of enemies. You know, I mean, it would definitely track.
Kids are washing their stockings, and that's how you're only judged on how many chores you do. And this is what made me say, you know what? Maybe that's not a bad thing. Maybe I'm Team Burgermeister here because I think, but I did write that maybe this is the beginning of the mess we're in now. Is because all that was starting to be seen as bad. And we did too much toys, too much Christmas, too much. You know, I have friends now who say to me, you know, their kids are in college. And they said, you know, they don't even understand money, let alone earning it or anything like that. They don't understand how it works. And, you know, mowing lawns and doing, you know, he was like, no, that ship sailed. He's like, none of our kids or our kids' friends do anything. And they all regret it, obviously, but. That they didn't have them do chores and things like that. I don't know. So I was just a mental note. Yeah. Maybe went a little, got a little too stonot with this. Maybe went a little too far. Oh, but I will say this though, on a positive note, a girlfriend of mine from France told me, and they didn't have proms. They didn't have parties for graduations. Their school was, it was all business. It was, you know, 8 a.m. to 5 o'clock. And even your lunch break wasn't really a social thing. And talking to, say, older people in business, they were saying how as much as that is can be effective in one area, the reason why we have excelled here is because we have the social, which enables creativity and innovation and all those other things. So it's interesting that you do need a balance of it. So I do want to say that because, and I know other cultures too, where it's been, I think some of my Chinese friends have said they're only now, because of more freedom, being able to be creative. And that's how they're finally able to start making their own content, making their own movies. But for years, they were beholden to Hollywood. Like that was our major export with them,
right?
Was films, because they were not as prolific. But I think there's something about when it's just all work. And Evan doesn't get all his toys and get his free time and his activities, then it's too much. I mean, I think we've gone to the extreme the other way, but I also think that it's important to have both because, you know, isn't this podcast on Santa Claus coming to town? Right.
You digress, Kev. You digress.
I digress. You guys, they threw me off my game. I'm sorry. So Chris comes in. He brings toys, compliments of the Kringles. Again, I think Mickey Rooney's amazing in this. They're like,
He is Santa.
Yes. And what about the Burgermeister? He's like, oh, what about him? He can have a toy too. And right. Like, just he's so chill about it. I don't know. I just thought, I love the delivery. I love the line. Miss Jessica comes in, calls him out on his clothes. Clothes again? And he's the first one to say, isn't that kind of a silly law? And she's toting the company line, of course, until she sees her little doll. And now she's Team Chris. And this song comes in, oh, what a good girl, oh, what a good boy. Yes, I know, Christian, if you sit on my lap today, a kiss of toy is the price you'll pay. Yeah, right, you're going to red flag that one. I see you shaking your head.
We could drop the line out on the soundtrack. We don't need to replace it. Just don't sing it. Everything will be fine. You know, it's fine. Just turn the music up when they say that. Yeah, it's fine.
So my friend who was like the Burgermeister, the next line, when you see the Burgermeister coming through on his little wheelchair, yeah, or his cart, whatever it is, it's his mobile throne. This line I always loved. A perfect day. Everyone so glum. The best. I remember the Entertainment Tonight, you know, just back in the day when those shows were super popular. That's what it was. Everyone's heads were down at their cubicles, tissue boxes on every desk because everyone was sick with a cold and just wore sweatshirts, pencils being used in their hair to keep their hair up, bags under the eyes, and I swear the bosses would walk in, look at everyone. So glum.
That's one of the best lines of the show.
But I swear there's people out there, I'm telling you, there's bosses and leaders who just love it.
Yeah.
There's nothing better than having the worker bees all defeated and beaten down and in line, you know, just following every order they get. That's what you want.
Been there.
Wait, he sees the children playing with toys. And then Chris Kringle and the Burgermeister first time meet. You, sir, are an unconformist and a rebel. Me? Rebel? And out he pulls out the yo-yo. And this is where you see the human side, which I'd like to think that all, no matter who we are, I swear, unless there's scientifically something wrong chemically with your brain, I swear everyone has a redeemable side to them, has a human side. At least in the, again, I go back to the carny business. I worked with heroin addicts, thieves, junkies, murderers even, and every one of them did have a human side to them. There was a side of empathy and compassion. Sometimes it was hard to find, but you could find it. And I love that you see this moment with the yo-yo where he's happy and he gets to return to his childhood before all the traumas came into his life to make him who he is. And then there's Grimsley, Sire,
playing the other side.
You're breaking your own law. What? and of course he calls him a sorcerer and he all sorts of other things. Get him. And this is where all the work with the squirrels, the animals has paid off. Climbs like a squirrel, slippery as a seal. They can't get him. He hits the woods. And they said, we'll never get him now. This is where we learn he's trespassing. And the Winter Warlock is going to make good on his promise. And the trees grab him, Peter Pine and Willy Willow. I have you now. And then we go to commercial. And it's that evil face with the fangs and the Winter Warlock. Christian, I'm sure you're not going to want your daughter to see until she sits with Uncle Kevin and Auntie Maria, and we work it through. Chris buys a little time and says, man, call you Winter, Mr. Warlock, and they keep bringing this joke back, which I think is hilarious. Mr. Warlock, if you please. And then he wants to give him a present. But you see, he doesn't have as many childhood traumas as the Burgermeister, so he's redeemable. And I just love Keenan Wynn is so great with this, too. You wish to give me a present? And then cue the music that comes in. And then he calls off the tree monsters, but he does it in a joking way where he's almost laughing. And you see his character's weakening. No tricks. No, sir. And out comes the choo-choo train. And my icy heart, it's melting. And then we see he goes from this gray character with the fangs. He melts, and now he looks more human. And the human came out in him. Go ahead, Christian.
The whole show.
I thought so, Anne, until we sat with these boys.
I mean, we even have that as part of our intro music. The "You wish to give me a present," and every time I hear it, it puts me in a good mood because I replay that scene in my mind.
I know so many Winter Warlocks. Do you know me, Winter Warlock? There's three different people that get big presents for me every Christmas because they're Winter Warlocks, and they've now gone to confusion to acceptance. That's nice. The best I've gotten them. But I know they're just angry and bitter and broken, but there's a really sweet person in there, but they've chased away their families, their friends. And, you know, I just think there's a lot of those, I don't know, it just really speaks to me. And I think sometimes just giving someone a little choo-choo train, give them a little present, even, I'll tell you, even if it's someone who works at a coffee shop, or my wife gets mad at me. Sometimes I will extra tip the worst workers or the most miserable ones. And she's like, wait, you're not supposed to, why are you reinforcing that? I'm like, it's not that I'm reinforcing it. I'm letting them know it's okay. Yeah. You know, maybe they'll think differently. Maybe they'll say, you know what? Not everyone's so bad. Maybe this job's not so bad. Maybe life's not so bad. I don't know.
Ev, that's kind of like your tip the dishwasher.
It was, I was thinking of that. Yeah.
Well, Ev, come on now. Like, let's go. Show me Gen Y is redeemable. Tell me. I want to hear this.
It's just the thing I do because I worked as a dishwasher. And so since then, I try when I can at restaurants.
I love that.
Tip the dishwasher.
I love that.
It gets a wide range of reactions.
It does.
It's beautiful. Yeah, it's funny. I do it too. There's a small sushi place around the corner from here. And I'll always go in the back and do the same with the dishwasher, only because I can see through the thing how hard he works, and he's also bussing the tables. But I love that. I've never consciously thought tip the dishwasher. But yeah, you're right, because they're not getting the tips, and they're doing the dirty work, the grunt work. Not saying don't tip the waiters, but
no, yeah, I never do it at the expense, because like there's different wages. Like the dishwashers should be getting paid full minimum, and like tipped workers usually aren't. It's a whole thing.
No, but, they don't usually pull the tips with the dishwashers. It's usually just the servers, as far as I understand.
Yeah, it always varies place to place, but dishwashers are not tipped.
I like that.
That I know of.
I'm adding that to my list of things. Thank you. And, you know, someone just introduced me to something else too. I like that a lot of businesses are now allowing you to tip on your credit card. The bad thing is they have to declare it. A lot of businesses don't do it because then they get hit with the tax bill. But I urge so many companies, employers to allow it, to encourage tipping. It's a win for everybody. If you're not able to pay them a lot per hour, this gives them the opportunity to make more money. Incentivizes them to give better service. So, you know, if you can have it on your credit card, I just encourage it. As I said, the one downside is you have to pay taxes on that extra money, or the servers have to pay tax. They're supposed to do it anyway, but it's a little bit gray. It's not a lot of money. But someone recently who I was with, I noticed, you know, they'll give you the 10%, 15%, 20%, or other. And she hit other. And it was just for one coffee, but she put in 444. I said, why? And she said, those are angel numbers.
Oh.
I was like, oh, I think I'm down with that. Yeah. Not that we're non-secular, Evan, right. Christian, don't worry. It's just saying, just, I don't know, in case there's something else out there, we're honoring that as well. But I thought that was really cool. You know,
very cool.
And by the way, listen, if you don't have the money or the means, I never want to shame anyone. There's people who are struggling out there too. But if you do have a little extra, I love that. And thank you. Thank you, Evan, for sharing that. I'm going to now add that to my list. What I love is they go through the great montage, you know, putting one foot in front of the other, iconic song. But I also love at the end of it, when they sit and break bread, the fact that Winter Warlock also says this, you know, my outlook has changed. And then he's like, but will it last? I really am a mean and despicable man at heart. And I think that's so great that, you know, it's not like this is a complete conversion. Listen, I probably see Winter Warlock most in my own life, losing his magic, being mean and grumpy, and trying to change, but being like, I really am a mean and despicable man at heart, you know. But it always just moved me that he was able to even own that part of himself.
Yeah.
Actually, this is when the song gets cute. I'm sorry. And we were talking about in part one, just even some of the lines in the song, don't be the rule, be the exception. And the fact that it's all just your election, it's your choice. And we were even saying seeing the animated character really struggle physically to get through the door. And Chris is waving him on. Then the animals are waving him on.
And then he makes it.
And he makes it. Yeah. And then they sit and break bread. And I just also love this. And by the way, I can't tell you how many times, let's say celebrities will come to me to help them with save their careers, fix their careers, build their careers. And they would say, like, what's the exchange? And I would say, well, You can bring me lots of toys and I can assist you with my magic. And then we see the magic crystal ball out of snow and he sees Jessica. Go to her, lad. And he's able to pop right in and see Jessica. And then she relays the message that the kids all want toys. And he says, fine, but just let them know. I'll be able to see them when they're sleeping, when they're awake, you know, taking quotes from the song. Sorry, Evan, that it was too obvious for you. And he says he has a technique, which, of course, is this crystal snowball. He tells the kids to leave doors unlocked. And if the door's unlocked, he's going to know a kid's there. The elves, the Kringles all move in with Winter Warlock. And again, I love this because he's still who he is. He's like, I'm crowded, but at least I'm loved. And the toys are back in town, and now Burgomeister is really getting mad. What sort of criminal is this Kringle sneaking into houses? You know, again, he's so great about spinning it. I'm telling you, Christian, if the press got their hands on it, at the end of the day, we got a guy who's, you know, covering himself up and he's breaking into houses. Am I right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, want to know
with children, innocent children,
children in there. And, you know, he doesn't go into the rooms, but, we've seen them wander downstairs occasionally. What else does he do when he's in the house? Even if no one wakes up, you know, does he help himself to anything? Does he look for any paperwork? Does he grab some loose change and just throw it in that big magic sack of his? We don't know.
I also think it's the parents' job to influence them, not Santa's. So, Evan, he's in there influencing them. There's an argument for that, Evan, at the very least.
I kind of had more of an issue with the leave your doors unlocked thing. Like that, I was just like,
well, wait,
even if you're not going in there with bad intentions, like the whole town of other people out there.
Have they canceled police in Somertown?
Was worried, like thinking like kids watching this in real life. Oh, I'll unlock the door. Oh no. Sorry. That's where my head went. Not to ruin this thing for you again.
It's okay. No, you already did that. It's fine.
If you can leave your front door unlocked, you might as well defund the police. Kind of what you're saying, Kevin, you know, if it's safe enough to leave your door unlocked, then what do we need them for?
Yeah, we don't need them. Let's get rid of them too. All right, so the doors are locked by decree. Topper has an idea for the chimney. So this is how we learn how we go up and down the chimney. Evan, I know you knew this already. The rest of us, I thought it was nice to learn why Santa would go down the chimney. I digress. But this is what Chris says. They have to get toys or their life will be nothing but school chores, stockings. And as I said, I think that's pretty poignant because we've seen other societies where it's all, been all about chores and stockings. I think there's limitations to that. And I love when Burgomeister comes in to inspect nothing but drying stockings, as is proper. And of course, the stockings are filled with toys. More toys, I will set a trap. And of course, he's able to trap Chris. And I remember there was a sick girl he had to get a toy to as well. I shouldn't leave that out. I thought that was really sweet that he had to get a toy to a sick child. They set the trap. And he's going to escape, but they caught Topper. And, of course, Chris is going to surrender because he doesn't want anything to happen to Topper. What can I say? You've got me. They're all rounded up and put in prisons. Jessica runs to the Winter Warlock and says, Mr. Warlock, you know, Winter, please. It's just amazing. You have to help us. And then this is like such a down moment. Alas, I've been disenchanted.
Kev, you're drawing too many parallels to yourself.
Yes, I'm having a moment. Okay, yeah, he mentions he's disenchanted, but then I think Grimsley comes and arrests, and they're all marched off, save for Jessica. Chris is caught, as we said. Now, here's the toy/book burning that freaked you out, Christian. Jessica pleads with the Burgomeister. Ah, what good are your promises? And then my eyes are beginning to open. Today is not the end, only the beginning. Now, Evan, so you'll be happy to know, this is my glitch. This, we just need to edit from this moment and this song.
Her music video.
It's not like it's drug 1960s trip. Drug trip. It doesn't work. You know, it's funny when you work on these productions, there's always one moron who's insisting on something and somehow gets it by everybody. And it's either someone who was super fan of the actress who played Jessica, or maybe it was her insistence because she wanted to sing one song in this, and maybe because she's obviously a beautiful singer. But guys, really, this one, even as a kid,
this is not it.
Yeah, no.
I think I liked it less as a kid than I did now, because now I just laughed at it. I'm like, what is with the music video?
And long too. Yeah,
went on for Agree. Like, they could have cut that out for sure. Not to hate on Jessica.
Then when Jessica goes to the prison, she says, you know, if only you had, she goes to the prison to talk to the Winter Warlock. If only you had your magic powers. You know, he's already admitted he's disenchanted. And this is where it's the short-circuited wand, powerless. And he goes over his everything, all the crap in him that has
broken.
Yeah, broken. All he has left is just some magic feed corn. I don't know about you, Ann. We've used that many times.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any magic feed corn left?
Do you have any magic feed corn? I used to pretend to have that. Like, I was obsessed with reindeer and finding the magic feed corn when I was a kid, and I still...
Well, as adults, we use it.
We use it all the time, you and I. It's like, I just need a little magic situations. Feed corn.
Yeah. Just please. Just
a bite.
And by the way, let's say it accurately. Magic feed what, Ann?
Con.
Con. Thank you. What good is it? Can't dissolve prison walls. Just something to make reindeer fly. Reindeer fly? And then Fred Astaire takes us through all the reindeers, including Rudolph, because a little never kid chimes in. And don't forget, right, he said, oh, no, that's another story. And they never say the word Rudolph because I think there was a trademark issue. Freed they are. The music plays. And one of my favorite lines is, I still have a little magic. I'm not such a loser after all.
You have another parallel to you.
Yes. And of course, like every one of today's villains, they have to triple down. So the Burgomeister vows to hunt them down. He burns the village where the Winter Warlock setup is, the Kringle House. And we cut to the wanted poster. And this is where Chris turns with his beard. It's like, they'll never catch me. And by the way, I just love the... I don't know where Christian is getting the part with Mickey Rooney. I thought Mickey Rooney was fantastic in this.
Oh my gosh.
Just so jovial and positive, you know?
Yeah, I say it again. He is Santa.
He is, to me, I thought. He's very proud and defiant, and just, he's not at all fearing the fact he's wanted. He's not letting it, he's not sweating it that they burned down his village. He's laughing. They won't catch me now with the beard. This is where Tante Kringle comes out and presents him with the medallion or the little
name tag.
Yeah, he had when he was born. What other name? And you know, Tanta says, your real name, you must use it now.
Yes,
I'm always doing this with my wife too, because she doesn't step into her power enough, and I'll always say, you must use it now.
Like, I love
this is where you need to be, Maria Menounos. You know, like, you must, and I always say, what does Tante Kringle say, Maria? I know. All right. Yes, I must use
she
it.
She like
now.
Have enough with Santa Claus is coming never. To town.
No, never. It's by Dianetics. It's, okay, that's right, why right, the right. Guys just tore everything to shreds.
I just want to make sure it's Maria's Dianetics too.
Oh, it is. Maria's a believer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. They go out to their Pine Cathedral, which I think is wonderful. And I love the Fred Astaire line, no church ever looked nicer. And I love that message too, because Evan, as younger Catholics, we were taught if a marriage didn't happen in church, in a Catholic church, it was not a marriage, and just all these other things. And I just love this notion of, no, there, it doesn't matter. God, and it's everywhere. Maybe even more pure out in nature. I thought that was very progressive. I always thought that was really cool. I love the fact that how many people have felt alone where their marriage isn't supported. Right. Maybe you're a gay person and no one's going to show up for you. But you know what? I just thought it was beautiful. They were there under the stars and the animals were there.
Yeah.
So, you know, your dogs, your cats, you know, they'll be there for you, your parrots, your, whatever your companion animals are. So I really did think it was beautiful. Okay. No, I see there's a lot of my favorite lines. I love this moment. Oh, can't I have just a little magic?
Yes.
Yeah.
I know what you're going to say.
Right. No, say it, Ann.
Oh. No, you do it.
No, it's just all the trees light up. It's the first Christmas tree. But yeah, it's just that little bit of magic.
Ev, you must have had a moment of awe in that, especially since you had never seen it.
I liked how this ended. I don't think I have as big of a problem with this as your
wait. Ev, did you pause like Fortnite when you would to for this moment, or no? You just played through on the other.
I was not doing anything else except taking notes while I was watching this.
No, on the flat panel next to that flat panel, and yeah, in this terrible life, in this terrible country we live in. You're yes, okay. So you paused Fortnite and you thought what?
No, I liked the well. I think maybe I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but the ending where it's like because I think this has a lot of like hating Christmas equals hating joy vibes, which I don't always agree with in specials like this. But I think the like ending voiceover did kind of sell me on it, where at least for like the ethos of this one, where it was saying like, you know, it was emphasizing like the giving side of. Yeah. Of Santa's legacy and Christmas and like really like pulling away from like the capitalism kind of side of Christmas.
Materialism, so like, consumerism, right?
Yeah, which like I think are all fair things to be lobbed at it. But yes. This is going hard on like the, this is the spirit that it wants to promote. And I was like, all right, that I think sells me on it. That forgives a multitude of sins. Again, I don't dislike this. It was just like the origin story.
But all three of us acknowledge, as you said, many, many sins involved in the making of this. But we will, yes, we can overcome, we can overlook them. Yes.
Sorry for sins, just like that's the turn of phrase. Sorry.
Of course, well, it's your generation, because you guys, you know true pain and struggle, and you know what sins are. So this is just a
phrase, many sins.
I'm playing with you, Evan. I'm actually in 100% agreement with you. And that's why I thought this was beautiful. And, you know, Fred Astaire sings a really nice song when they get married. I think more people should use this as a wedding song, actually. But there was no rest for our outcasts because, you know, the heat's on. And, you know, the Burgermeisters of the world won't stop, sadly. But they go out to the North Pole. And again, he's just so positive. We'll build our own castle and workshop. And he's laughing. Our own toy factory.
Nothing got him down.
No. No, it just kept going,
which I love,
and which is amazing. And the thing is, I also found this very poignant too. What happened with the Burgermeister? Well, even before then, no matter how hard the Burgermeister tried, you know, his legend grew. You know, because when did they stop thinking of him as an outlaw? And that was the answer. It was like, well, over time. Think of all the great people in history that were martyred. At the time, they were the criminals and the outlaws that time goes by and people realize. And the Burgermeister fell, picture the Burgermeister falls. They eventually fell out of power because people realized how silly they were. And, you know, it's probably a kind way of saying for some of our like despicable leaders out there. But at the end of the day, besides the terrible things they do, they're silly, silly people.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to say men right now because there's more men than women, but they're silly little men. It's sad. You know, Hitler's a silly little man until, you know, everyone's listened to him and what he was able to do. But if you just took it all away, the silly little man, failed artist, you know, like, and then, you know, he's very nice. And is that why he's called Santa Claus? Yes. And Santa, obviously, for Saint, which I shouldn't say obvious because I never understood that as a kid. So. They chose the holiest night of the year because they knew, you know, going year round would be too much. And I love it. However, probably hundreds of years later, he meets up with the Winter Warlock. He's like, Mr. Warlock. And by the way, Mr. Mickey Rooney with the older man's voice.
I know.
I mean, come on, Christian. And I just love Winter Warlock. Winter, please.
Right.
And I love them. And I love this lesson too. And I've got my magic working fine. And I can promise you a big storm. So he goes through this, to me, goes through this transformation. He makes the sacrifices, goes, takes on the power of good. And in the end, he's able to have new magic, which I thought was really great. It doesn't mean, so in other words, the message isn't if you're evil, you have magic. And if you become good, you lose your magic. I always thought that was really nice.
Right. And then he got it back after he became good.
Right.
Right.
So
he was redeemed.
He's redeemed fully, but redeemed in a way that the message isn't, you know, okay, so you're a good person, you suffer, or you're a good person and you have to surrender your talents and all the other things about you. You don't. But at first, it's painful when you're the one who does the right thing, when you're one who sacrifices, you know, when you don't give in, it's hard at first. But I love the idea. The message is that in the long, it's not just good for everyone; it's good for you too. And then they're like, "Well, everyone loves him." And Fred Astaire says, "Well, not everyone. Poor, misguided folks. Lots of unhappiness. Yes, but doesn't Santa take a little of that away?" And I think that's where it gets into the part that Evan was speaking about. What if we learn to give of our talents, our hearts? And I think that's really it. I always took that as the message. And I think, unfortunately, yeah, the commercialism and the overindulgence and the dark side of capitalism now has become attached to this. But
yeah,
really at its core, to me, should be about giving, forgiving, even kindness. And
yes.
And rather than just do it for a day or a week, I think it's nice we do it for a month. I quite frankly wish, as you know, this half the reason we do this show is because we'd love to extend that spirit to absolutely go longer than that time. Yes, we'd like to laugh and have fun, but at the end of the day, you know, we love you, Evan. We love you, Christian. We see you. We hope that you will refrain from lighting us on fire, as you know, you want to, and more than likely will when you get a little older and a little more power. I will not be in this state or country when that happens. I will take Anne with me.
I love that sentiment, Kev.
And then Fred Astaire sings the theme song and all the animals jump on board as we roll the credits and head home back to the North Pole. Anyway, final
thoughts. I love that ending too.
Talk to me.
I just love how magically he told his story and the little cart, whatever that contraption is that he was driving, it was kind of a snowmobile mail cart thing, was fixed in the hour or 50 minutes that it was. And he gives his little statement and then starts singing with the Westminster Choir, which just takes the whole level of the show up because they're, you know, world renowned singers. And so you're just like, holy smokes, it's Fred Astaire and the Westminster Choir bringing us out, and everyone in the town is around it. So it's cheerful and the animals are there. And I don't know how anyone didn't leave the special with a giant smile on their face and in their heart. Cause it just touched.
Well, Evan, did this hurt your Fortnite play, or did it make it better? Like, how did it,
Seen the ending. Nothing can really make it worse.
Evan, what is your also, game?
I wasn't
of choice?
Playing for it.
Okay, no, I'm making that up.
No.
And I'm having fun with your generation. By the way, Evan is brilliant and a super hard worker and a fine young man. Evan, so what is your game of choice?
The Insomniac Spider-Man. If we're talking video games, that's it.
Got it.
Otherwise, board games got a longer list, but I won't get us off track with that.
You could be an expert.
Evan, here's my Christmas gift to you. I'm telling you, if you did a podcast on board games, it would be very successful.
Okay.
I think if
my brother and I were to do a podcast together, that is one.
Okay.
That we would never run out of things to talk about.
Okay, there you go. So now, can you tell me some of your favorite board games?
My family really loves Ticket to Ride and Catan. I have gone through phases with Axis and Allies, although it took a long time before I played that correctly. My brother and I have many iterations of Monopoly that we have. And when I say iterations, I don't mean like different types of boards. I mean, we have like created our own rules to play.
Is that a thing in fan communities to create your own rules? Is that a thing?
I don't know. It's a thing in my house.
Got it.
I don't know if I can say
it. I bet you it is. I wouldn't be surprised if it is. And now, are you someone who someone like me just is the tacky consumer? I like the Monopoly editions that are, they're higher end. It's not just the old board with the plastic pieces. You ever see there's different versions of Scrabble. There's different versions of Monopoly that are the super expensive. I don't have one, but
like
to
a
me,
gold Monopoly, I think, isn't there?
Probably. Yeah. But Evan, no, you're just old school. Just get to work, just drop the board and play.
We used to have one where there was one that came out in like 2010-ish that, or maybe a little earlier, where you had like a little machine you put like a credit card in to keep track of the money instead of paper.
I liked that.
We liked that a lot. You could be a little more precise, and it did break eventually. But yeah, we have many. We have, like, at this point, we have so many rules that we roll at the beginning of the game to see which rules are active, like our own rules for Monopoly specifically.
I have to get back into having a child. I will be getting back into games.
Yeah.
So ties it back to Christmas. If Evan, if someone gave you a game for Christmas, are you someone who's willing to try the new game, read the manual, or you're like, no, I have enough games already?
I'm always for trying new games. I do find rule books very tiresome. So my preferred way to try new games is to, like, have a friend who already knows it, teach it to me. And then, like,
got it.
Cause it is so much easier. Like, you can learn a game in 10 minutes from that way.
Which on YouTube, you could probably have that same thing on YouTube, that right?
Find rule books. Like the reason I took like almost 10 years to learn how to not that long, but like 5 years to learn to play Axis and Allies properly is because I misread the rule book in like 8 different ways.
Got it. Yeah.
I still had fun with that game playing it wrong, but I was playing it wrong.
I like go to YouTube and give me the 2 to 5 minute thing now. And I know you're super humble, Evan, too humble, not as obnoxious and boisterous as I am. Sadly, hopefully someone that can rub off you right now when I especially ask this question. And Aunt Ann, please support me in this.
I'll do my best.
I bet you there's one of those games where he could be the world leading expert in, like Rick Goldschmidt is the world leading 100%. Expert on Rankin Bass. Evan, come on now. Just come play with me for once. Come over here and be cocky for 1 second. Stop being
I would choose.
Be a typical crappy male. Cocky. Come on. Come over and be with me for 1 second. Just name one game.
Come on, Ev.
Century male.
Like that I would be the expert in?
World's leading expert. Schmidt is the world leading expert on Rankin Bass. I'm going to be the world leading expert on Milk Duds. Anne is going to be?
Holiday throw blankets.
World leading expert on holiday throw. Your aunt is going to be the world leading expert on throw blankets, Evan. Can you believe it? Oh, I don't know if you knew my aunt. Anne Sleeman, world leading expert in holiday throw blankets.
Yes.
That's so quite Evan, a name drop, though.
Yeah, thank you. So, Evan.
I think I probably have the best chance. Like, Ticket to Ride, I probably already know the most. So that would be
world-leading. Did you hear that, Anne?
I was even going to suggest that one, Ev. World-leading expert on Ticket to Ride.
Okay, Anne, this Christmas season, the Sleeman family, the Hastry family, everyone needs to know about, have you heard about Evan?
He's the world leading expert.
I do. Although, my family, Ev,
when you guys play that as
there.
A family, you all stand up. Like, nobody even sits around the table.
We rarely sit playing that game.
He's the world leading expert, but you know, but because he's so humble as an expert, of course he's going to give credit to all of them for making him to help.
I'm not saying I'll give them credit. I'm going to say they're probably going to dispute that I know more than them.
wait, what? Okay.
They're all going to fight me on it.
All right. They may have to get cut then. We only need believers.
I'm a believever, Ev.
Yeah.
I'm
more of a nerd than them. So I'll easily outstrip.
So, cause I think, I think the Captain Crunch one is too forced. Although I just selfishly wanted you to become the world leading expert in Captain Crunch, but I think you could be the world leading expert in Ticket to Ride for sure.
Yeah. I have enough opinions on it already. I have a few more versions that I got to try out in depth. So,
okay. I'm going to leave it on this, kids. And then you might already know the answer because, Anne, you've probably heard so many Kevisms. Although we had a 30-year hiatus in our friendship where maybe you've forgotten some of them. But Evan, you and the stupid high IQ, you're going to be able to answer this question, which is going to piss me off. But I'm going to ask you anyway and stay out of it.
Okay.
P.T. Barnum had a circus and it was known as the greatest show on earth. Can you tell me why, Evan, it was known as the greatest show on earth?
For my money, it's because he knew how to advertise the hell out of something and exploit a lot of people, would be my answer. But hyperbole worked, and he's famous.
Well.
Or infamous, depending on who he is.
Well, almost. Not quite. It was the greatest show on earth because he said so. He said it was the greatest show on earth, and he didn't blink. And that was it.
That was it.
So, do you know what I'm saying? There's just in life, if you are just, I am this, that's it. Who can? How do you dispute that you're the world's leading expert? You don't. I was just fighting for a client. It's an athlete, and I said, "This person's the greatest." And then I said, "And there's an argument to this organization that these other two people are the greatest. There's an argument for it, but I'm going to argue my person is the greatest, and I have an argument for it. Now, I might not be right, but you can't say I'm wrong."
Right.
So, anyway. Little just lesson. We're always learning lessons here on Christmas Specials We Love podcast. It's our last one. Thank you to the people leaving us nasty reviews. Thank you, Evan and Christian, for your generation just breaking my heart, peeing on the things I love. Everyone have a nice Christmas. Feel free to text and 351-251-2511 or leave us a review on Apple Podcasts to say goodbye to us.
No,
I will be joining Evan on the Ticket to Ride gaming podcast. I will be in the Evan role. I will get to be, you're going to host it. You're going to lead it. You're going to do the research. And I'm going to monkey wrench it. That's what I'm going to do.
I love that.
Yeah. I'll be tall saying, really? Well, you think this is a great game, but you haven't played Gnip Gnop.
Oh, I've played Gnip Gnop.
How does Gnip Gnop rate against Ticket to Ride?
Too much skill, not enough luck.
Okay, so here we go. We have to get out of here. You guys, everyone, Merry Christmas. Let's keep that holiday spirit going. And I guess you can tell them we will
talk shortly.
Bye.
Talk shortly.
Bye.